Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all here. Even it's snowing out there. It's the first time ever that it snowed on a Sunday since I came to this church. And I used to see that a lot when I was in New England. And I remember those old days that sometimes it snows so much, they cancel Sunday worship. And, you know, I'm a stubborn man. I never canceled the worship, even though I thought I would be the only one in the sanctuary on Sunday morning. And I experienced a lot of that, but this is a very unusual in California. I'm happy to see you all here in this beautiful sanctuary, and all of you who have come to join us via Zoom, and I pray that you will have the visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, and who will warm your heart, warm your spirit, and even your body, that we will experience the warmth of God's presence in this kind of cold morning. A man was struck by a bus on a busy city street. As he lay dying, a crowd gathered around him. "A priest! Somebody fetch me a priest!" gasped the dying man. A policeman checked the crowd, but there was no priest, minister, or man of God of any kind. "A priest, please," the dying man repeated. Then out of the crowd stepped a little old man. "Officer," he said, "I'm not a priest. I'm not even a Catholic. But for the past 42 years, I have lived behind St. Mary's Catholic Church. And every night, I overhear the Catholic litany. Perhaps I can be of some comfort to this poor man." The policeman thought it was a good idea and took the old man over to where the accident victim lay dying. The pensioner knelt down gingerly, leaned over the man, and announced in a solemn voice, "One little duck, number 2, doctor's order, number 9, two fat ladies, 88, and it goes on and on. You know, that's how they play bingo in the Catholic Church. The next door neighbor of the church never participated in worship, did not have faith, and mistakenly thought that the bingo game was a liturgy of the church. Like the gentleman, many non-believers know Christianity superficially, but claim to understand it in depth and judge the faith by their shallow knowledge and bias. A worst case is when the believers are not in harmony with the Bible. They think they are. The believers ought to uphold the Bible, but they accept non-biblical teachings and practices, integrate them into their faith, and claim their now tarnished faith to be correct. This is what happened to the people of Israel when Moses was upon Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. The people became very agitated by the absence of Moses only for 40 days and asked Aaron to make new gods to lead them. Aaron collected gold earrings from people and made a calf out of them. People bowed and offered sacrifices to the lifeless object, saying, "It brought us out of Egypt." Israel witnessed with their own eyes salvation from slavery by the mighty hand of God, but quickly turned to an idol they made with their own hands and gave it the credit for their deliverance. See how nonsensical the idol worship was. At the time of Exodus, the golden calf did not even exist and never was a part of the Exodus miracle. So their claim, it brought us out of Egypt, was absolutely false. And, you know, you see that in the scripture, they themselves acknowledge what happened to this guy who brought us out of Egypt. They know that it was Moses, and it was God behind Moses. And the same goes, and you know, when Moses stood before God defending the people who were now worshiping idols, what if you destroy them today? Wouldn't the Egyptians say that you brought them out of Egypt and destroyed them in the desert? Which means Egyptians even knew that it was God who brought them out of their land. So everybody knew, but they made this false claim. It was this idol who brought us out of Egypt. They wanted the golden calf to replace Moses to lead them in their desert. How could an inanimate object lead a massive group of people and animals wandering in the vast Sinai desert? Exodus 12 says, 600,000 men, beside women and children, came out of Egypt. I mean, think about the number. How many would they be altogether? And plus, it says a mixed multitude also went up with them. So there were more than those men, women, and children. There were other groups. Plus, very many cattle, both flocks and herd. It was impossible for any single individual to lead, in my opinion, more than a couple of millions of people, plus probably more animals than people. Even Moses could not have managed the group without the power of God backing him up. The molten image of the golden calf could never sustain people and animals in a terribly harsh living environment for a long time. What does this mean? Idol worship simply meant that they wanted to believe in anything except God. The entire story defines the fallacy of idol worship accurately. An idol is purely a human fabrication. And idol worship is associated with the fabrication of the truth of the Exodus. Fabrication of the truth of the Exodus. In other words, deception on ways of salvation. You shall have no other gods before me is not just the commandment, but a statement of the unvarying fact that God only can save. Did any idol save Israel? It did not. In fact, the history of Israel shows that idol worship became the very cause of their destruction in the end. It was not just Israel that practiced the false religion, but people do it today. In the name of religious pluralism and believe all religions are different ways to reach God. They have added other religions on top of God. Pew Research. Who achieved eternal life in 2008 shows that a majority of all American Christians, that is 52% Christians, think that at least some non-Christian faith can lead to eternal life. And I'm pretty sure that percentage has even more increased today. The people of Israel had some reasons to ask for new gods. They experienced the manifestation of God's power so many times, but could never see God. Moses was the representation of the invisible God. Whenever they had issues, Moses took care of their problems. Moses, their tangible connection to God, was absent when he went up to the mountain, and they wanted a new substitute for Moses. The substitute that they could see and touch. So they came up with a physical object. It was made of gold that glittered and satisfied the human quest for a visible God. The image in the shape of a calf also appeared to be grand and have power. But the immovable golden calf or any other gods, however glorious they looked, could never substitute the only God of salvation. There's no other substitute for God. Jesus made this very clear as well. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Peter agreed with it and preached in Acts 4. He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. The Apostle Paul repeatedly said in his letters, that we are only saved by grace through faith in Jesus. God is one, is the underlying teaching all throughout the Old Testament. Jesus is the only way of salvation, runs all through the New Testament. Many accuse Christianity of being exclusive because of this teaching. The word exclusive has a very negative connotation today. But think of this simple fact of truth. Truth by nature is exclusive. To avoid the truth being exclusive, some try to be inclusive and say everything is true. If everything is true, then nothing is false, right? If nothing is false, then both good and evil are good. Therefore, this proposition is false. Truth cannot include everything. It has to be exclusive. This is the basis of common laws that we know of, which punish criminals by exclusion from the society. They differentiate good from evil. They are not together. They are not the same. Postmodern idolatry, so-called religious pluralism, denies Jesus as the begotten Son of God and the Messiah. And it nullifies both the Old and New Testament. If God provided many different ways for people to reach God, then Jesus did not have to come to the earth and suffer the terrible crucifixion. Religious pluralism critically downplays Jesus' redemptive work and denies Jesus as Christ altogether. In spite of this inconsistency in idol worship and religious pluralism, Unitarian Universalists accepted pluralism, and as a result, it lost its identity as Christ's church. Many believers today accept another religious pluralism called the New Age movement, which is a mixture of Buddhism, Taoism, astrology, psychics, and other religious ideas. Religious pluralism is a heresy that has infiltrated into Christ churches today. It has weakened the church and the faith of believers. As idol worship destroyed Israel, religious pluralism is killing Christ churches. You know, we might think that idol worship is just a practice in the ancient times. It is practice everywhere in the world today. Let me give you an example that I found in the World Vision magazine. John Robe wrote in the magazine, "A giant tree stood on the banks of the Awash River in an arid valley about 2 hours' drive southeast of Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. It has stood there for generations, seemingly eternal. For years, the people who live in the surrounding district had suffered through famines. In their suffering, the people looked to the tree for help. Believing a spirit gave it divine powers, they worshiped the towering giant. Adults would kiss the giant trunk when they passed by, and they spoke of the tree in hushed, reverential tones. Children said, 'This tree saved us.' In 1989, World Vision began a development project there, including an irrigation system. But as they labored to build the system, the great tree stood like a forbidding sentinel of the old order, presiding over the community, enslaving the people through fear. For spirit need to be propitiated with animal sacrifices and strict observance of taboos. When World Vision workers saw how the villagers worshipped the tree, they knew it was an adulterous barrier to the entrance of Christ's kingdom and the transformation of the community. One morning, the staff prayed together that God would bring down the menacing Goliath. Soon the whole community knew the Christians were praying about that tree. 6 months later, the tree began to dry up. Its leafy foliage disappeared, and finally it collapsed like a stricken giant into the river. The people of the community were astonished, proclaiming, 'Your God has done this. Your God has dried up the tree.' In the days and weeks afterwards, approximately 100 members of the community received Jesus Christ because they saw his power displayed in answer to the Christians' prayers." Well, this kind of idolatry was easily discernible. But idolatry in disguise that I'm talking about is not. It is how religious pluralism has permeated Christ churches and has misled believers. It calls for believers' discernment. We should hold on to the good old gospel message of salvation. As faithful believers have defeated this idol worship through the ages. There is no other but Jesus Christ only saves. During Lent this year, let us consider Jesus, his suffering, and our salvation. Amen.